This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Limited shower activity across the northern plains is expected during the first week of the two-week weather outlook, allowing spring flooding to further recede. World Weather Incorporated says some of the western areas will need moisture to alleviate dry soil conditions. Warmer temperatures will begin to dry topsoil and should lead to greater field work beginning in parts of the region. Nearly all of the snowpack has melted in the Red River Basin, and temperatures are expected to climb into the 60s and 70s later this week. There is some rain in the forecast beginning Friday and continuing through the weekend, with more chances of rain next week.
Minor to major flooding was underway along portions of the Mississippi River along the Illinois and Iowa border this morning, while minor to moderate flooding was occurring in parts of northeastern Missouri. World Weather Incorporated says water levels will increase southward to the Ohio River, with the river likely to stay below flood stage. The Red River has dropped below flood stage in some of its southern areas, while others are at minor to moderate flood stage. World Weather says the crest is near Drayton this morning, with flood conditions steadily improving from south to north over the coming week. Areas to the north of Drayton will see worsening flood conditions as the crest moves north.
River levels on the upper Mississippi River are at their highest level in more than 20 years. Barge traffic has been shut down, and USDA says the closure could last a few weeks. The situation impacts fertilizer moving north as well as grain heading south.
Retailers are starting the spring fertilizer season with good supplies. However, StoneX Director of Fertilizer Josh Linville expects supplies to get tight as warehouses need to be refilled.
The unfortunate part of this is that so much of the marketplace is taking a just-in-time demand approach this spring. Prices have been down for a while. Farmers, smartly, have been holding off, waiting to see what happens, hoping for a little bit lower prices, and that's great and has worked. But unfortunately, the flip side is when you have a lot of just-in-time demand and then you have any sort of a logistical issue, well, that just-in-time logistics can burn you on the other side. And that's, we've seen that in some spots throughout the Midwest, and that's something we're watching very closely for the North.
Fertilizer prices are expected to remain elevated for spring, but Linville is expecting summer prices to be lower.
There are a lot of indications right now that summer price resets are coming, and they're going to be big. You know, some of the futures markets are pointing to triple-digit lower values. That's going to continue to be pressed, you know, lower grain prices, things like that. So we're going to make sure to keep our head on a swivel this summer, but it looks like even better days are ahead.
Traders seem to have been taken by surprise with last week's corn cancellations by China. Bauer Trading President Jim Bauer says cancellations are nothing new for China.
The problem with the Chinese canceling those corn purchases, it kind of blindsided the market. They really weren't ready for that. And the Chinese are respected as traders. In fact, I mentioned that in my market letter. They've been the best traders on the planet for the last 2,000 years. And that's not just a nearby thing, and it tells us that they are very calculated. They know value. They know when the market's going to drop, and they're pretty proficient at pricing these grains pretty much across the board.
USDA's weekly export inspections report showed corn inspections during the week ending April 27th at 1.5 million metric tons. That is 61% more than the previous week, but 10% less than the same week last year. Soybean inspections at 402,000 metric tons are 6% more than the previous week, but 33% less than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections at 358,000 tons are 1.5% less than the previous week, 9% less than last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are down 34% from a year ago. Soybeans are running virtually the same as last year, and wheat inspections are down 3%.
Steiner Consulting Chief Economist Alton Kahlo says the onset of Memorial Day is bringing a surge of beef demand.
You know, it's been a tale of two markets. On the cattle side, we're at the point in the cycle where, you know, supplies are tight. It's been cold, and, you know, especially up north, and so cattle are fairly current, supplies are tight. And going into Memorial Day, it's created a bit of a explosive market where the prices that packers are paying are significantly higher than they were a year ago. Wholesale beef prices have been firm. You know, when you have food service demand, that tends to be relatively inelastic in the short term.
Kalo says the beef slaughter pace may be high, but the numbers just aren't there to keep up with demand.
You have retailers that are getting ready for Memorial Day. And so when you cut slaughter by 5, 6%, and then you also tack on top of that a 1.5%, 2% reduction in carcass weights, it's certainly left the market short beef. And so higher prices have been needed in order to ration out that supply. On the pork side, things are different. You know, the slaughter numbers have been higher than expected. You know, we're pushing through a significant amount of pork into the marketplace compared to where they, you know, things were 2-3 years ago. And so as a result, the spot market for wholesale pork is relatively soft.
The state of California will end the sale of gas and diesel-powered trucks by 2036. The rule also requires all fleet trucks be electric or zero emission by 2042. The federal government needs to give its approval for the enforcement of this rule. This announcement was made Friday and follows a separate rule increasing the percentage of EV trucks sold in California. The American Trucking Association said California is setting unrealistic targets and unachievable timelines. Yes. Don't forget, you can find out more about Red River Farm Network, radio affiliates, listen to this broadcast, podcast, and more on your phone. Bookmark rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The American Sugar Alliance is keeping a close eye on key issues outside of just their farm bill priorities right now. President Luther Marquardt says labor shortage is a crisis across the ag industry, not just for sugar.
And you see this across commodities. You see it all over the country, is that agriculture really does have a crisis for good labor. And this is kind of in the Congress's hands. They can't seem to solve it. But I think you're going to see more and more pressure, more focus coming to address this labor problem.
Regulation is also important for the American Sugar Alliance.
Pesticides are always a big issue, and we're frustrated with more regulations coming out from EPA, and growers are going to have to get together across commodities and try to address some of these issues that are coming out of litigation that's coming out of San Francisco. So we're working on it, we're focused on it, and hopefully we can see more efforts to counter some of these decisions coming out of EPA.
A conference committee hearing was held this morning to compare Minnesota's House and Senate versions of their agriculture bills. Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson testified on the importance of maintaining the integrity of the Board of Animal Health in the state.
I wanted to weigh in on the Board of Animal Health. That's something, too, as commissioner, when we face avian influenza, when we face African swine fever, bovine tuberculosis, all these different things we want, the Board of Animal Health is a true partner to the Department of Agriculture. And so we want to be have confidence in that board, in the membership, and I look forward to working with the conference committee on that to maintain the integrity of that board, as it's very important, I can tell you firsthand, in the things that we've had to deal with in the last 4 years.
Peterson also said the Minnesota Department of Ag is keeping a close eye on PFAS regulation. While he says it's important to consider the impacts of these chemicals, it's also important to consider the alternatives and what more strict regulation would mean for farmers.
Really have a lot of different things that we want to look at with PFAS, and then understanding the timing and just the whole supply chain and how that works for our crop production products that our farmers use. And as was said before, what would farmers use then if they're not using that? Would it be worse or something else? And so I think that we're open to working through that, and again, not oppose the language on that or working on treated seeds, but just understanding the day-to-day impact on farmers.
As potato growers prepare for planting, Extension potato agronomist Andy Robinson says seed potatoes need to be prepared ahead of time.
It's always important when you're cutting seed to make sure you heal it properly. Putting fresh cut seed into wet ground is not good. It can lead to bacterial rot. So if the ground's moist, it's good to cut ahead and heal it up for a week or two. And then also pay attention to soil temperatures. Potatoes really aren't going to do much growth below about 45 degrees. It really needs to be about 50 degrees for them to start growing. And yeah, we're hoping that we'll get in the field sooner than later.
Robinson reminds farmers to wait for field conditions to be ready.
You got to be patient. And, for the those that are growing more of the fresh potatoes, chip potatoes, a little bit shorter season, they got time. The russet growers are a little behind. But I think there's, a lot of hope and anticipation that there'll be some planting by the end of this week in those lighter soils.
JBS USA's Chief Executive Officer Tim Shellpepper is retiring from his role effective May 1st. Wesley Batista has been named the new CEO. Batista has more than 13 years of experience in the company, previously serving as President of JBS Canada, President of JBS USA Fed Beef Division, and CEO of JBS Brazil.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will lead a trade mission to Australia in November. Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson said the trip will showcase the food and agriculture products grown and produced in Minnesota. In 2022, Minnesota exported $438 million of products to Australia. Go to rrfn.com, sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet news hits your email inbox every Monday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Green Bison Soy Processing President Mike Keller says the Spiritwood soy processing plant is on track to be up and fully running by this fall.
Yeah, the impact should be tremendous. This is the state of North Dakota's first fully dedicated soybean crushing and refining facility. We have processed, that being ADM, had processed soybeans in the past, but not on a consistent basis. So we're very proud of that that goal, of which the intent is to come online here the harvest of 2023. We currently have bids to the producer and or to the elevator supplier this fall for delivery, as well as the 2024. So the impact will be fairly significant. I would say overall, we're really highly focused not only on feeding our livestock customers, but also our partner with Marathon Petroleum.
Green Bison's partnership with Marathon Petroleum will help produce renewable diesel from soybean oil, which Keller says will benefit soybean producers.
The impact with renewable green diesel across North America is research has shown that it's contributed $1 per bushel back to the farm gate. So North Dakota, typically on average over the past 5 years, has produced, north of 200 to 250 million bushels of soybeans. So that impacts alone from just the renewable green diesel and other forms of biodiesel impacts to north of $220 million back to the farmers.
Looking at markets before we leave you, July wheat Minneapolis 13¾ lower at 790, also 13¾ lower for the September contracts at 793. July wheat Chicago 15½ lower at 618. Kansas City wheat 19½ lower at 756¾. July corn 1½ lower at 583½, and 2 lower on the December contracts at 525¾. July soybeans 9¼ higher at 1428½, and 11 higher for the November soybeans at 1274½. July canola in Winnipeg at $2.40 a metric ton lower. Live cattle, 62 cents lower. Feeders, $1.12 lower. Hogs, $1.85 lower. This is the Red River Farm Network.